Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Text 32, Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, Text 32. Jnana Yogascha Manishto Nirgunya Bhakti Lakshana Dvayorapyeka Evarto Bhagavat-chabdha-lakshana Jnana-yogascha-manishto Nair-gunyo-bhakti-lakshana Dvayor-apyeka-evato Bhagavat-chabdha-lakshana Jnana-yogascha-manishto Nirgunya Bhakti Lakshana Dvayorapyeka Evato Bhagavachabdha Lakshana.
I'll read text 31 because it had no purport. My dear respectful mother, I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth, by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. Text 32. Philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the material modes of nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly, or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport as Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many lives of philosophical research, the wise man ultimately comes to the point of knowing that Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is everything, and therefore he surrenders unto him. Such serious students in philosophical research are rare because they are very great souls. If by philosophical research one cannot come to the point of understanding the Supreme Person, then his task is not finished. His search in knowledge is still to be continued until he comes to the point of understanding the Supreme Lord in devotional service. The opportunity for direct touch with the Personality of Godhead is given in Bhagavad Gita, where it is also said that those who take other processes, namely the processes of philosophical speculation and mystic yoga practice, have much trouble. After many, many years of much trouble, a yogi or wise philosopher may come to him, but his path is very troublesome, whereas the path of devotional service is easy for everyone. One can achieve the result of wise philosophical speculation simply by discharging devotional service. And unless one reaches the point of understanding the Personality of Godhead by his mental speculation, all his research work is simply said to be a labor of love. The ultimate destination of the wise philosopher is to merge in the impersonal Brahman. But that Brahman is the effulgence of the Supreme Person. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanoi pratishtaham amrita swavyayasya cha. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is indestructible and is the supreme bliss. The Lord is the supreme reservoir of all pleasure, including Brahman pleasure. Therefore, one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is said to be already realized in impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. Om Gyanatirmanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The culmination of all scientific knowledge is when you come to the point of understanding the Supreme Lord in devotional service. This is the devotional service movement. As Srila Prabhupada would often say, this is the only institution that is able to teach you how to see God, how to experience God. That is our noble purpose in coming here. We want to have experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the highest occupation, and indeed, it is the culmination of the human form of life. It is the most serious occupation, yet it's the most joyous occupation. Now, I was talking with Sivasrubhu yesterday about the differing conditions in the material world and how that influences our candidates for devotional service. When Srila Prabhupada began this movement in the West, it was during the countercultural times. Flower power was everywhere, and young people were throwing off the disciplines of material life, and they wanted to accept the disciplines of spiritual life. So everything was free-flowing. Everything was good vibrations everywhere. Of course, that didn't last too long in the material world. Sooner or later, the flower power simply turned into hard drugs and violence. As you can read about in the memoirs of senior disciples of Prabhupada, how the famous Haight Ashbury changed from love and trust to drugs and hate. Now, what's going on today? Before talking about that in relation to this most important subject matter of seeing God, let's flash back, let's say, 60 years ago. I was talking with one official in the Catholic Church, and he was saying, did you know, right before World War II, if you wanted to be a Catholic monk or nun, you went on a waiting list. We were so jammed with people because intelligent persons were seeing that, look, we just had World War I, 17 million people killed, and you mean to tell me here we are on the verge of World War II again? What's the point of this world? I can't live in a place like this. I want to be a monk or a nun. So they had long waiting lists. You had to go through a whole vetting process. They checked you out just to be a monk or a nun. And then, similarly, right after World War II, he said, they were jammed again, long waiting lists of people who wanted to be monks and nuns because so many soldiers were coming back who had seen so many horrors on the battlefield. They were fried on the material world. They were convinced, what is the point of all this temporariness just to make a mess of the world? There's got to be something better. There's got to be some spiritual life. So after World War II, again, long waiting lists. And that pretty much sustained them into the 60s. That sustained the Catholic Church into the 60s when flower power finished them off. Like, who wants to be a monk or nun as a young man or woman when, you know, just love and peace, they're everywhere. Just wave the peace sign, everything will be all right. Who needs a monastic life for a man or a woman? Of course, we started expanding during that time. Prabhupada knew how to get all the flower power people into Krishna consciousness without compromising. Everything was wide open and breezy then, in terms of the the whole material culture, especially in the USA, and it influenced the whole world, too. This liberalness, just find yourself. Don't worry about the obligations, material obligations of life. You just got to search for yourself. And so our doors were open in this free-flowing atmosphere. And, you know, people, candidates for bhakti would come and go. You talk to somebody at the Sunday feast, he'd say Hare Krishna once. He'd say, hey, into the ashram you go. If he said Hare Krishna twice, you had the clippers out ready to... And leave him with a long sika down to his, you know, the back of his... You know. So, that was working then. And Prabhupada said, I know that so many people are coming and leaving, but I'm doing this on the authority of Narada Muni, who says in the first canon of Bhagavatam, Tukta Sadharmam Charanam Bhujam Hare. So what if they come and then they go? Still, their lives are much better than if they had never taken devotional service at all. Because even if they had done all their material activities perfectly, it would have been a complete loss. But the fact that they took up devotional service, could not complete it, still, their life is much better because they had some contact with Krishna. So Prabhupada said, I'm doing this on the authority of Narada Muni. He described how he said, when I first started my movement, he said, I had about 5 or 6 people with me. They're not there now. They're not with me now. But still, even though they're not with me now, in other words, they're not practicing Krishna consciousness anymore, still, there's no loss for them. It's simply gain. So, in this way, so many people came and they went. Now we find a different world. Narada Muni's instructions still apply. Srila Prabhupada's vision still applies. We have different circumstances. It's not the most important thing, but it does have an effect. Is the world outside there an easygoing, flower power, laissez-faire place? You meet a guy on the street with long hair, he's got nowhere to stay, you never met him before, come stay in my place. Does that kind of stuff go on? No, everything is very tense, tight, and highly competitive. The job market is just super tight. And if you want a job these days, you've got to be prepared to surrender completely. You've got to become a pure devotee for them. Otherwise, they just look at you and say, hey, there's 500 people who can take your job. You're a university graduate? So what? They're a dime a dozen. That's the way it is these days. We have to understand how times have changed. If you want to live material life these days, it is serious business. None of this flower power stuff anymore. Come on, let's hug one another, smile on your brother, all that kind of stuff. No, it's like, hey, if you get the job, I don't get the job. So how can I compete with you? Parents are pushing their kids. Don't just have one major at the university. You've got to have a double major. Get that extra competitive edge. Some parents are even saying, double major is not enough. A lot of people are already on to that one. You've got to have a triple major at the university. That means double and triple the work. But remember, you've got to be ready for the job market. Suppose you study marine biology as one major, and then that field dries up, no jobs. You've got to have something else to fall back on. Maybe study English literature, become an English teacher in high school, something. And then maybe number three, have a third thing, you know, in case those two fall through. All this pressure is on young people today. Now, in Krishna consciousness, we don't put people in anxiety. There's no doubt about that. We're trying to introduce them to the spiritual world free of material anxiety. But it's very important for us to understand that to be a candidate for devotional service is a very serious thing. In other words, why should it be that the material world is so serious now about its occupational duties, But when you come to Krishna consciousness, oh, whatever. Yeah, I think I feel like doing some service today. Okay, I'll try to go to a few programs a week. Yeah, I've been trying to wake up, you know, but, you know, a lot of mornings, you know, I'm just give me a while, you know, just give me another couple of years and try to do that in the working world. Any job, try to have that attitude. Let's just say you're a young guy working at a car wash. Try to go with that attitude. Oh, I didn't feel like coming in today, you know. Just had a bit of a pain in my belly. And I said, get out of here. We don't need you. That's the situation these days. Especially so in the USA. I know a lot of you don't understand that in other countries, Commonwealth countries, UK, Australia, New Zealand, they have what's called the dole, social welfare. So if you don't have a job and you're over 16, the government puts money in your bank account every week for you to party with and buy drugs. So so that kind of makes life easier. Of course, the people are highly taxed to pay all this. They're taxed in a way an American would never put up with. But that's just their culture there, that everybody should get something. But you don't have that in the USA. USA is swim or sink. Compete in the job market or perish. Go out in the street, commit crimes, whatever, sell drugs, figure out, be a burglar, do something to support yourself. Because there's no real social welfare system. Now, we have to take that into account when understanding how bhakti is facilitated for the people today. Why should we just be so, whatever, Prabhu, just try to do whatever service you can, yeah, you know. Anyway, we're so desperate. You said the word Krishna once. We're so desperate for people just to say Krishna once. Yeah, we got a place for you somewhere. We won't bother you. Just, you know, just hang out somewhere and, hey, if you can do a couple hours of service, wow. It's great, you know, it's really hard finding people these days who want to chant Hare Krishna. It's not like the 60s, you know, when everyone was just piling through the door, eager to be a Hare. Now, you know, you've got maybe 10% interest to be a devotee. Wow, I mean, okay, we'll just let you be. How can we be like that when if you want to do something in the world of illusion, you have to be so serious? In other words, we can't be out of step with the times. So when we talk about adjustments, this is what we're speaking of. Not, well, maybe what Prabhupada said, you know, we have to adjust. Or leave Prabhupada alone, but we have to deal with ourselves. That is the point. How can we present the seriousness that people at least have to have in doing some crummy, illusory material activity? Otherwise, we look cheap. We look like we're not serious. And what will some person with some material intelligence, some material smarts, think when, you know, well, I see a lot of guys kind of goofing off here. I see guys who aren't serious. And I know what it takes to succeed in the material world. So those kind of persons are looking for that kind of serious situation for their spiritual life. And I'm sure, this is my opinion, based on experience, once you recognize your market, you'll find those serious people will come. So why should we indulge persons in the name of Krishna consciousness when they can't do that in the material world? In other words, as a beginning devotee, we've got to at least give Krishna what we would give in the material world. Otherwise, it's cheating. It's complete dishonesty. Hey, you know, I knew if I was living in the material world, I'd be working in a car wash, I'd be working in a factory, or working at the airport in some menial task. But hey, I just come to the devotees and, you know, just kind of go through the motions and there's good food. You know, there's no pressure on you. Lots of time for chatting, gossiping. Check out the girls. You know, this can't work. We're out of step with the times in terms of the preaching environment. and then we're doing people a disservice. What is the point of this whole community? It's to give you the impressions deeply in your consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you come every day to see the deities, you are being impressed with Krishna in your heart, in your mind, in your intelligence. And in that way, you carry Krishna throughout the day. Srila Prabhupada has so expertly given a program, a process, by which, if you follow it, Krishna is emblazoned deep into your consciousness. That's what's going on here. God realization, seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's the most serious occupation, yet it's the most joyful occupation. So yes, it's true that people are looking for good camaraderie, they're looking for relief from pressure, but we always have to remember the central purpose. That is to see God, to experience what is God. That opportunity is amply available here. So we have to understand our occupational calling. Keep that firmly in mind. Then we're able to decide who's a proper member of the devotional community. Basically, the question point blank is, are you wanting to see God? Do you want training for your senses to experience the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Do you want to see Krishna with your eyes, hear Krishna with your ears, taste Krishna with your tongue, smell Krishna with your nose, experience Krishna with your sense of touch? If you want to learn how to do that, if you want to get that qualification, then this is the place for you. Otherwise, what's the point? Now, to see God, as you know, requires qualification. It takes qualification to do any little thing in the world these days. That's why there's always such anxiety in various nations around the world, that do we have enough skilled members of our population? Do we have people who have the skills necessary to push on the information economy? Just like in England, they don't have enough skilled people, so they bring them in from other European countries, because England's like the service center for all of Europe, nothing but offices there. So their concern is always, where are the qualified people? We have jobs for them. So similarly, we want to be qualified to see God. Even if you want to see God, it is actually demoniac to think you can see God without qualification. That is the Hiranyakashipu program. That was his challenge to his son, Prahlad. Prahlad, you're always talking about someone who's stronger than me. You're always talking about a God who's all-powerful. Where is he? Why can't I see him? Prahlad, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you right now. I've got my sword, you see, and I'm going to chop off your head. Now, if God is really here, if you're really seeing God, he's going to come and do something about it. But we all know that there's no God because I don't see him. Therefore, I'm going to chop off your head and that'll be the end of your speaking nonsense. Because if there's actually a God, I, Hiranyakashipu, would be seeing him. This is scientific knowledge. I have my eyes. If there's a God, I'll be seeing God. But we don't see any God, do we, Prahlad? Meanwhile, Prahlad's looking in the pillar and he sees Nrisingadev peeping out. Prahlad says, yes, yes, God is here. And Hiranyakashipu roars, is he in that pillar? And he strikes the pillar and out comes Nrisingadev, letting everyone know, yes, I'm here. Prahlad has seen very nicely. So the desire to see God without qualification is actually demoniac. That may be hard for us to understand. But just think about it. How would you like someone to get up in your face who doesn't know you and hasn't done anything to please you and just, hey, I want to see you. Tell me all about yourself. How would you feel? No gentleman or lady would ever allow such a thing. It's like, let's say, Bhakta Omar here. I don't know him, but people just walked up to him, an ordinary guy on the street. He's an ordinary guy on the street. Hey, who are you? You got a problem? Depending on what part of L.A. we're in, you'd respond differently. In some sections, you just run. And maybe if you're in Santa Monica and you know there's lots of police around, you know, what are you talking to me like that for? But no one does that. No gentleman or lady does that. Hey, who are you? Tell me about yourself. Tell me all about your intimate qualities and pastimes. I want to see you now. Hey, you don't know me. Maybe we could be friends, but that's going to take some time, you know? We have to build a relationship. If we can't do that with an ordinary, tiny person, part and parcel of Krishna, what makes you think you can do that with God? I want to see you now. Reveal yourself to me. No, you have to go through the personal process of getting to know Krishna and showing Krishna that he can trust you. That is the point. Of course, our philosophy is so sublime that actually a real devotee doesn't even mind whether he sees God or not. This is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Ashlishava pararitam panashtumam adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. Adarshanam. Even if I don't see you, although marmahatam, it'll break my heart. If that's what you want, let it be. I'm yours unconditionally. You're my prananath. Mat prananath. You're the Lord of my life without reservation. Srila Prabhupada explains that verse so beautifully that, yes, my Lord, I would love to see you. Certainly it would be a great pleasure for me to see you, but I understand you're busy. You have so many devotees to deal with. If I don't see you, that's all right. I'm still going to go on serving you. Not that, hey, I've been in Krishna consciousness X amount of years. I haven't seen God. I'm dropping all my service. No. The actual attitude, how you can see God through not worrying about seeing God, is difficult, I know, it's very mystical. How to see God without worrying about seeing God, that's taught by Lord Chaitanya. He says, Ashlisha, the pleasure is yours, my Lord. It's not that I want to see you for my pleasure. If it gives you pleasure to not make yourself visible to me, so be it. But I'm going on with my devotional service. The paradox of this is, with such an attitude, you'll actually see God. This is the mystery of bhakti. If you simply focus on pleasing Krishna's senses, Krishna's pleasure, then you'll actually see God, although you're not demanding. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, he had a motivated program, as you know. He wanted to see God in order to get revenge. His father's other wife had insulted him so deeply. You know the words she said when Dhruva tried to climb on his father's lap and the son of the favorite wife was there, because Dhruva's mother wasn't the favorite wife. So she told Dhruva, you want a better relationship with your father? You want your father to pay you some attention? Let me tell you what you have to do. Perform severe austerities and penances for quite some time, and one day you'll be lucky to take birth in my womb. Then your life will be up to the standard when you appear from my womb. Otherwise, forget it. Dhruva just flipped. He's a Kshatriya kid, you know, proud, heroic. Oh, he couldn't handle this. He ran to his mother crying. His mother was helpless. What can I do? I'm not the favorite wife anymore. I'm helpless. I wish I could help you. But I know someone who's more affectionate than millions of mothers like me. Dhruva said, who's that? Vishnu. Where's he? I don't know. I've heard the great saints look for him in the forest. Dhruva was gone. I got to find this Vishnu. If I can see him, he'll give me revenge against my stepmother. He'll put my brother in his place. He'll give me a greater kingdom than even my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, had. I'll have a better kingdom than Uttanapad, my father, a better kingdom than Manu, my grandfather, a better kingdom than Brahma, my great-grandfather. Vishnu can do it for me. So this was his program for seeing God. He was so determined, however, that he attracted the attention of Narada Muni. And Narada tested him, saying, looking for God in the forest is not for little kids like you. And what are you getting so offended? You're just a little boy. You're too young for all this honor and dishonor stuff. Dhruva told him, look, your advice is good. I can't handle it. I've got to see God to get revenge. So everybody said, all right. Here's the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You go to Vrindavan, to Madhuvan. You chant this mantra. Very soon you'll see God. Dhruva easily did that. And after 6 months, because of such great determination, even though his program was motivated, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was meditating on the Lord within. He saw him within. And then the Lord disappeared from within. Dhruva opened his eyes and saw the Lord without. At that point, Dhruva realized, I've been a fool. By the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva had become purified. And even though the Lord asked him, what benediction do you want? Dhruva was ashamed that he had material desires. So he just asked, give me the benediction that I always have the association of devotees who help me remember your lotus feet. Still, Krishna gave him Krishna fulfilled those material desires. The Lord was not offended. And being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord took care to let Dhruva know, I'm not offended by your childish ambitions you had. You're just a child. You didn't mean it. I'm accepting the essence of your devotion. I'm overlooking those childish ambitions. Dhruva, however, from his side, was lamenting. What a fool I was. I had the darshan of that person who can put a stop to the cycle of birth and death. But my goal was to ask for things which would perpetuate the cycle of birth and death. What a fool. Verse after verse, he lamented. And Prabhupada points out that you be careful what kind of motives you approach Krishna with. Otherwise, you may have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. Now, let's contrast that with a lila from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Advaitacharya had a servant, Kamalakanta Vishwas, very confidential devotee of Lord Chaitanya, secretary to Advaitacharya. He knew all of Advaitacharya's affairs. He did a service just like Gaudachandra does, you know, in the BBT office. He just, you know, managed Advaitacharya's schedule, his appointments, like that. In fact, he even managed Advaitacharya's personal treasury. So Advaitacharya was going to Jagannath Puri. Kamalakanta Vishwas, through someone else, sent a note to Maharaj Pratyabharuja, the king. First of all, the note said, Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he has a debt of 300 rupees. Could you kindly liquidate that debt for him? Somehow, Lord Chaitanya got a hold of that note. And Lord Chaitanya was not happy. Although his Mukha Chandra, his moon-like face, was shining, still, he was not happy. What is this nonsense? Yes, indeed, he has said correctly that Advaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he contradicts himself by saying the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a debt of 300 rupees. This man does not understand Bhagavad Dharma. I don't want to see him again. So when Kamalakanta Vishwas heard that, he was just heartbroken. I can't see the Lord anymore. And what did Advaitacharya do? He went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I can't understand why you gave Kamalakanta Vishwas more favor than me. I can't understand this. When I spoke Mayavadi philosophy, all you did was beat me with a stick. You didn't say I couldn't see you anymore. Advaitacharya was concerned that Mahaprabhu kept respecting him as his elder, indeed, like his spiritual master. So Advaitacharya wanted he wanted to do away with this respectful behavior from Lord Chaitanya, so he purposely did something to provoke Mahaprabhu, and he knew how to do it. I'll speak Mayavadi philosophy. That'll put an end to his respect. And sure enough, Lord Chaitanya was beating him with a stick. But he didn't say, don't see me anymore. So Advaitacharya was pointing this out to Lord Chaitanya. How come Kamalakanta, Vishvas, how come he gets this the greatest punishment? In other words, Advaitacharya's teaching, whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead does to you, you take as a benediction. Whether it's so-called happiness, so-called distress, reversal, or however it appears, because it's coming directly from Krishna, the devotee accepts it. This is the meaning of Advaitacharya's words. You know, Krishna is doing this for my good. So Advaitacharya was saying, I never got such ecstatic punishment. Why is that? So Lord Chaitanya heard him and smiled. And he said, bring your secretary to me. Bring Kamalakanta Vishvas to me. And then Advaitacharya said, wait a minute. You're cheating me double. First, you give him the most special, exquisite punishment of telling him he can't see you anymore. And now you're calling him to your lotus feet personally. I'm cheated again. He's getting more mercy than me. And then Advaitacharya remembered similar ecstatic punishments dished out by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya took it as an offense that his own mother, Sachimata, had criticized Advaitacharya. Sachimata had accused Advaitacharya of influencing her son to take sannyas. So she was a little, perhaps, feisty about that. It's because of you, Advaitacharya, that he took sannyas. You encouraged this whole thing. So Lord Chaitanya made her touch Advaitacharya's lotus feet and ask for forgiveness. And then was the example of Mukunda, Sri Mukunda. He could sing kirtan so sweetly, he would melt everyone's hearts. All the devotees loved him, especially for his kirtan. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing his glories to all the devotees, and he was asking all the devotees, come ask whatever benediction you want. Come, come, come. Devotees would come forward. They would ask, please, may I have more faith in my guru. Please, may my wife be Krishna conscious. May my servant be Krishna conscious. Everyone was asking for someone else or asking for something that was purely for their service. So then the devotees looked around. Well, Sri Mukunda, why isn't he in on this? He's such a dear devotee of the Lord. And they even asked Lord Chaitanya, Sri Mukunda is waiting outside. Why is he not part of this ecstatic scene here? And Lord Chaitanya said, he is a cheater. He hangs out with the Vaishnavas and talks devotional talk. Then he goes and associates with non-devotees and becomes familiar with them. He's like hitting me with an iron rod. He's hanging out with persons who don't understand that bhakti is the supreme activity. I don't want to see him again, ever. So Mukunda was nearby, behind a curtain. He heard this. Oh my goodness, Lord Chaitanya never wants to see me again. He was heartbroken. He was crying. The devotees pleaded with Lord Chaitanya. He's not done any real offense. Please forgive. We don't understand. Lord Chaitanya was firm. He won't see me again. So then, when the devotees relayed that to Sri Mukunda, he was heartbroken. But then he had an idea. Ask Lord Chaitanya when would the next time be when I see him. So the devotees went to Mahaprabhu. Mukunda wants to know, okay, he cannot see you, but when in the future can he see you? Lord Chaitanya said, after 10 million births, he will see me again. So the message was relayed to Mukunda. After 10 million births, Lord Chaitanya said, you'll see him again. What did Mukunda do? Dance in ecstasy. I have attained. I have achieved. Wonderful, wonderful. He has promised me that after 10 million births, I'll see him again. Ecstatic. He was dancing like a madman. The news was brought to Lord Chaitanya about Mukunda's attitude. And Lord Chaitanya immediately said, bring him to me. The devotees presented the message to Mukunda. He was still dancing in ecstasy. He couldn't even hear that the message was coming from Lord Chaitanya. Come see me, come see me. He was just 10 million births. In 10 million births, I'll see him again. In 10 million births, how merciful my Lord is. So finally they had to, somehow they, Lord Chaitanya wants to see you now. And he went and he saw Lord Chaitanya and fell at his feet and said, I have no qualifications. I don't deserve to see you. So this is actually bhakti. I'll serve Krishna whether apparently I'm seeing him or not. This is the inner power of bhakti. And for disciples establishing themselves in Krishna consciousness and making progress forward to the goal of pure devotion, we can remember Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction, don't try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Just follow the order of the Acharya. You will see Krishna that way. All right? Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Sometimes we see that devotees, they don't necessarily want spiritual life where it's too intense or too regulated or too structured or too authoritative, because we don't necessarily think that that's what spiritual life means. We think that spiritual life more means a personal relationship with God, and we're going to develop it on our own understanding, realization. So when I'm hearing you say these particular things, you know, I get concerned. I'm thinking, well, geez, what is this, a boot camp? I mean, what are you trying to run here? And, you know, what's the purpose of it? If it's like forced upon me, where's the love? How am I going to achieve love if it's all forced upon me, if the temple president's going to be on my case, on my back every 5 minutes, and I'm watched when I walk across the street, or, you know, when I'm going over here, like, what is this? Where's my freedom? Where's my independence? Where's my, you know, anyway, you get the point.
The point is that we should all pray that Subhash, please watch us, and please be on our back. That is the point. How many births does it take before we can have a chance to come to New Dwarka and be watched and observed by such great devotees of Srila Prabhupada? 10 million births? We'll wait for it. The fact is, we don't force anyone to come here. Has anyone here been forced to come here? You were forced into the ashram, forced into living in the apartments. Did it happen to anyone here? So, obviously, you should be here for training to experience God. So love is shown by the facilities to give training. If the facilities are there to train you, you should understand that that's love. That's personalism. Otherwise, it's impersonal to say, I want to understand God, but you don't accept God's instructions for how to realize Him. Krishna gives a whole systematic process for perceiving Him. He says, you need guidance. You need to do this. You need to do that. So if you reject that process and just say, oh, I just want to be with God, I want to experience God, this is impersonalism. You have to follow the system that Krishna gives for seeing Him, for being with Him. Otherwise, we're impersonalists in the name of practicing the most personal spiritual process in existence. We should thank Krishna that we have such a training possibility. We should thank Krishna that we have someone looking over us. Once you start thanking Krishna for that, then you'll start to see what's going on. Any parent who tries to raise a child properly will never say, love means let the kid do whatever the kid wants. If your parents were hippies, yeah, they would say that. And therefore, we're observing that each generation now is getting more and more wild because the parents don't know how to raise kids. These things are just basic facts of life. Try taking that attitude to the material world. I want to work, I want a job, but, you know, I kind of just, you know, want to go at my own pace, and I just kind of want to come into the office when I feel like it, you know, and do the duties in the office that appeal to me on a particular day. Try that one. Try at your work saying, I don't like who I'm sitting next to and working with. Try that one. Try, I don't like the boss. I don't like the boss's tone in talking to me. Try that one. How long are you going to keep your job for? But when we come to Prabhupada's movement, who are you telling me what to do? I don't feel like doing that. Prabhu, we're all Vaishnavas. Get off my case. Leave me alone. This is bogus. I'm sorry to say it, but the fact is bogus. It's cheating. It's impersonalism. A real devotee is eager for guidance. Even if sometimes the embrace of love gets tight, still you appreciate the love. You understand what the motivation is. Just like sometimes your parents, you might have felt they're just giving me too much surveillance. I just don't have any space to breathe. It's natural that teenagers especially will feel that way. Still, you always remember their motive and the love. So similarly, we should have that same vision here in terms of the most serious occupation, experiencing Krishna, seeing Krishna. There are people out there who want a serious opportunity for devotional service. But if they see that we're just, kind of lackadaisical and we allow laziness and inefficiency that's not even allowed in the material world, no one's going to take us seriously. The hippie days are over, you know? Life out there is serious business. As one president of your country said, the business of America is business. So either you get it together or, you know, you have no job. And in the USA, there's no social welfare support. So it's either you act like you can be employed or you just go out in the streets and commit crimes. That's the alternative. So how can we be much less serious than the material environment around us? That's ridiculous. We'll look ludicrous. So these are the kind of adjustments we have to consider. The hippie days are long gone. Don't come here looking for the eternal hippie days. This is finished. And please thank any devotee who tries to help you. By that activity of thanking that devotee, Krishna will give you the intelligence to understand. Even if sometimes you feel the embrace is too tight, at least it's an embrace. Any other questions? Yes.
Then that's simply a labor of love. So generally the term love is referred to Krishna. So how are we to understand this?
Yes, I also wondered about that. You have to think about it a bit, which I'm sure you've done. In other words, you just love work and you don't get the result. You're a workaholic. Speculate, research into what is the ultimate cause. But you don't get the result, so you just must be loving the work, that's all, because you're not getting the result. Anything else? Yes? Very good question. Association. Eagerness for Krishna is developed in association under guidance. Tatra lolyam api mulam ekalam. greed for Krishna. The kind of greed we need for Krishna is not found in the material world. Only the bhakta, the devotee of the Lord, knows really what greed is about. So we have this association for developing this special greed for serving Krishna. So choose your association properly, take proper guidance, and you'll become eager. Anything else? Thank you very much. Glory to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.